we were talking at supper, and we were saying it's very difficult to avoid having been around this firestorm of controversy with regards to this Religious Freedom Restoration Act. We've had powerful people condemn our governor, condemn the state, the President of the United States, two other state governors, many heads of many companies. There's an open letter from CEOs of large companies. This is just a deluge against the state of Indiana, and particularly Christians in the state of Indiana, who are presumed by all to be the instigators of all this. And it seems like it's a reasonable time to look at that a little bit. I think the first thing to say with regards to opposition against Christians is that the lack of opposition that there has been in this country for the last, most of this country's existence, the reason for many people to have come here, is extremely unusual in the history of Christianity. The Christian church was born in persecution. The Lord Jesus predicted persecution. All the apostles, when they would preach, would say, as I've so often quoted in the first missionary journey of Paul, says that through much tribulation you enter the kingdom. So we need to understand that the Church of Jesus Christ has to expect fierce opposition. If you look back, for example, the Reformation was born in persecution by means of the Roman Catholic Church, or for the previous centuries. And if you look at, say, the church in England, all the way up into the 1700s, you read of the Evangelical Awakening, and they were still a persecuted small minority in that church, in that state that we think of as a Christian nation, certainly much less so now. It was not until the 1800s that Christianity kind of became popular in the life of Britain by means of Queen Victoria. And then in this country, of course, it's kind of been the kind of the de facto state religion. And so we think of it as our right. It's not our right. And what is, when persecution begins to come, what does it look like? Well, I think that's what is, when we hear what people are saying about us, and we see the knee-jerk, biased, bigoted reactions of men and women. And then we see these powerful business leaders that will say, well, we're going to boycott your state. I think what we need to remember, since this is maybe the first time that we have seen that in our own personal life, and then maybe even in this nation, is that persecution of believers is mercenary. Persecution of believers is unprincipled. Let me give some examples of that. You remember when Paul is in Philippi. So on the second missionary journey, Paul is going across Asia Minor, and he has this vision of seeing a man saying, come over and help us in Macedonia. And the first place they get to is Philippi. And then there's this slave girl who is prophesying and says, these are men of God. And so after a while, Paul just exorcises this demon. And the people that own this slave girl say, oh no, I've been making all this money off of this slave girl. This is terrible. I'm going to get these guys. And so he is powerful enough and politically connected enough that he goes and he says, these people are saying things that are against the emperor, and has them thrown into jail. Now, what is his motivation? Is it religious? No, it's mercenary. It's totally unprincipled and mercenary. In the city of Ephesus. So Paul goes from Philippi to Thessalonica to Athens to Corinth, and then from Corinth to Ephesus. Stays there a year and a half. And in the midst of all of that, there is this riot in the city of Ephesus. And the silversmiths say, we're going to lose all of our income, because they were making these little silver images of Diana. We're going to lose all of our income. And so they whip up this frenzy in the city, and they have this riot in the city, and everybody ends up in the amphitheater, and they're shouting, great is Diana of the Ephesians. So what are they saying? They're saying, there's no God but Diana. There's no truth but what's found in Diana. Well, isn't that what we're hearing here now? You may not say anything against homosexuality. You may not say anything against Diana. We'll get you. Now, but what is the rationale behind it in both cases? We want our money. We don't have any principles. We want people to come into our doors and service our companies and walk into our businesses. We don't have religious principles. We just want money. So persecution then is mercenary and unprincipled. They have no boundaries on their greed. The believer has that which bounds his belief and his behavior. And if it's not strictly greed, then on the other hand, it's a hate and blasphemy. And I'm not going to step through the passages, but in Acts 13, 45, 18, 6, 19, 9, 26, 11, the last one being Paul himself telling on himself, we see men and women who are just filled right up to the gills with hatred against Christians, and the word blaspheme is used, and Paul, as often as not, is driven out of the city that in which this hate-filled reaction is caused. What we see in all of these is, in the name of toleration, there's an absolute intolerance for others. And hopefully that is that theme was clear this past week. The theme is toleration, but the actions are intolerant. The Christians that are involved here in this state are being persecuted on the basis of toleration. But the Lord Jesus gives us a point of view here. So if persecution is mercenary, if persecution is hateful and often blasphemous, the Lord Jesus gives another term for persecution. He says persecution is blessed. Persecution is blessed. The believer ought not to say to himself, well, this is a monetary event, because it's clear that these businesses have money involved. Let's step through the Philippi situation again. So this man manages to get Paul and Silas thrown into jail, and they are beaten. You know this. You know the result of their being beaten and thrown into jail. They are found at midnight, number one, singing praises to God, and number two, thankful that they were counted worthy to suffer persecution for the name of Christ. Oh, but this was just a mercenary business event. No, it was for Christ's sake. We cannot just say because they were motivated only by money, that it wasn't Satan behind that monetary situation, and said, and not remember that that persecution is truly for Christ's sake. These low standards, these low ungodly outlooks of these people, these biased, bigoted behaviors. The result, if one is the direct in the direct line of it, is still persecution for Christ's sake. And they counted themselves as being persecuted for Christ. And the Lord Jesus says, "Blessed are you," says that when men speak all manner of things falsely about you. Do you remember that he says that? And that has certainly been the case this week. All manner of false things have been said about, especially, Hoosier Christians. It's not like they are being very careful to speak that which they believe and know to be the case. No, they're just spouting. But the Lord Jesus says, "Blessed are you when men say all manner of things falsely about you," when there is this reproach. In other words, you are held up to ridicule. And then when there is actual persecution, when things are denied you because of that. So the Lord Jesus counts us blessed. We must count ourselves blessed. It is not the proper stance to stand there and just kind of allow the blows to rain down on you and then just kind of go on. We must align ourselves with Christ. No, I am not the Lord Jesus. I am not, in that sense, in his place. But he says that. Blessed are you. Their motives are not, they don't understand their motives. Satan does. So, they are hateful. They are mercenary. The Lord Jesus calls us blessed. And then lastly, there is a response that is necessary in the midst of that. A twofold response. First of all, to trust in God and not man. To trust in God and not man. Now that's a general statement, and I bring this up because this is about law, and this is an attempt by law to give relief to Christians or religious people, and it's easy for us, just as it might be easy to focus on the mercenary outlook of those who are attacking, to focus on the attempt by means of law and its success or failure. That ought not to be central or primary for the believer. In this same case, in Philippi, we find the Apostle Paul invoking law. Do we not remember that? When they get beat, there is the earthquake, and the Philippian jailer is saved. And then the next day, they send and they say, "You can come out now." And he says, "Oh, really? They beat us uncondemned." In other words, this is like habeas corpus. They beat us uncondemned, Roman citizens, and now they just tell us to go away. No way, he says. Let them come and get us out. And so he's essentially calling them on the carpet on the basis of law. Okay, so far so good. So they come and they get them out. But what is the, and there's relief in that sense. They are embarrassed. But what is the final outcome? Before the day is out, they're out of town. So they did manage to embarrass these officials on the basis of the invocation of Roman law. But they still had to leave town immediately. The believer has no business focusing on the use of law for ultimate relief. Now, there may be some relief. This law is an attempt to give relief to Christians. But if we focus on that, we're focusing on the wrong thing. The Lord may give some relief. Frankly, I doubt it. But He may give some relief. But even if He does, even if He gives a lot of relief, our focus must be on the Lord. So we see Paul invoking Roman law there in Philippi. We see him invoking it in Jerusalem. They were going to beat him in Jerusalem after he spoke in the temple. And he manages to avoid that by invoking his Roman citizenship. But it still happens that he's in jail for about 2 years in Caesarea. The invocation of law is not a final solution for the believer. And then the fact that he's in jail, it's clear that God is in that to send him to Rome. And in fact, Paul has a vision that says that explicitly. So by means of the unlawfulness of Roman authorities and Paul's unlawful persecution, God is intending to send him to Rome and to send the gospel there in a more powerful way than it's ever been. So God has His purpose in the difficulty and the persecution of believers. And to focus on the rightness, the wrongness, the alleviation by means of law is not where the Christian must be. Now, it's probably wrong for him not to invoke the law. It's wrong for him not to attempt by means of law, certainly in our society, but to focus his hopes on the law is not where he ought to be. Why can I make that such a powerful statement, as strong a statement as I did? Well, because the law is about rights. Paul said, "Hey, I got a right here. You can't just do that." Christ is not about rights, is he? He's about sin and grace. The law is about rights. Christ is about sin and grace. And that's in a different league, and it's in a parallel path, almost a parallel universe. So if that's the case, if I'm busy looking at the law and are we going to get our rights, I'm not where Christ is. Christ is saving sinners. Christ made Paul sit in a prison for 2 years so that he could go to Rome so that more people would hear the gospel in and around Caesar's household and in and around the city. That he was wronged so that people could be saved. It's not about rights. Christ is saving sinners by means of so often, the wrongs of men and women against believers. So if that's where Christ is, if Christ is about sin and grace, and not about rights, because we don't have them standing in His presence, then we need to make sure that we're where Christ is. That I'm not standing in a place demanding my rights, but make sure that wherever I'm standing up, I'm standing where Christ is. Both that individually that's the case, when I'm just talking, when I'm at work, and as a church, we need to make sure that we're standing where Christ is. So often churches get caught up in rights. Am I going to lose my right to not have to pay taxes as a church? Am I going to, what about the church in America? Well, what is Christ about? Christ is about the gospel.